Today's reading is from Revelation chapter 21, beginning in verse 1. Revelation chapter 21, beginning in verse 1. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more, neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away." And he who was seated on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." Also he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." And he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment. The one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death." Then came one of the seven angels, who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues, and spoke to me, saying, "Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb." And he carried me away in the Spirit to a great high mountain, and he showed me the holy city Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, its radiance like a most rare jewel, like a jasper, clear as crystal. It had a great high wall with 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and on the gates the names of the 12 tribes of the sons of Israel were inscribed. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And the one who spoke with me had a measuring rod of gold to measure the city and its gates and walls. The city lies four square, its length the same as its width, and he measured the city with his rod 12,000 stadia. Its length and width and height are equal. He also measured its wall 144 cubits by human measurement, which is also an angel's measurement. The wall was built of jasper, while the city was pure gold, clear as glass. The foundations of the wall of the city were adorned with every kind of jewel. The first was jasper, the second sapphire, the third agate, the fourth emerald, the fifth onyx, the sixth carnelian, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprase, the 11th jacinth, the 12th amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls, each of the gates made of a single pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, transparent as glass. And I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and its lamp is the Lamb. By its light will the nations walk, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it, and its gates will never be shut by day. And there will be no night there. They will bring into it the glory and the honor of the nations. But nothing unclean will ever enter into it, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Chapter 20 completed the vision of the spiritual battle that's going on. And chapter 21 is the victory. It is the Lamb. It is the glorious vision of the ending. And that's where we're going to complete the book of Revelation, with this high note, if you will. And that was the point of the book. Remember when we started, the point of the book was to see that the Lamb will be victorious. We'll see that despite everything that Christians have to go through on this earth, and everything they will endure, and everything they will see, and everything that will torture them and bother them with the sin in the world, all those things will be worth it, because in the end, we will be with our God. And so when he sees this new heaven and a new earth, because the first had passed away, he sees this holy city, this new Jerusalem, coming out down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Now, this concept of a new heavens and new earth isn't completely new. You go back to the book of Isaiah to chapter 65, and you see this idea put forth. God says that the former troubles would be forgotten, and they will not be remembered nor come into mind. That's verse 16. And in the place of the old, he says, I will create new heavens and a new earth, verses 17 through 19. And there will be this rejoicing with his people, and they will rejoice in him. And so that's really the message here, too, is that for those that have their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you're going to enter into that existence that is perfect, that existence that is with God. And that's what it means to be on the side of the victorious Lamb. And that's the point for verse 3 is people of God. He says, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them. They will be his people. And God himself will be them as their God. Not that he's not our God now, but it's a different relationship that's going to exist then. It's a perfect existence with the glory and the presence of God. Just a quick note, not all manuscripts include that last part, as their God. So if that wouldn't be there, then it would be, they will be his people and God himself will be with them. Verse 4 is always a comforting verse. He'll wipe away every tear. Death shall be no more. There won't be any mourning, crying, pain. The former things will have passed away. And that's comforting to us because those are things we don't like about this life. I don't know about you, but I don't enjoy mourning. I don't enjoy pain. I don't enjoy seeing others waste away and die. Those are things we don't like about this mortal existence, but they will be gone because this mortal existence will be no more. When we are resurrected and judged and then enter into heaven as his faithful, we leave behind that mortal existence with its limitations and with its pains. And when we're in the presence of God, we're not going to be thinking about this life anymore. We will be only living in that moment, that glorious presence with God. Verse 5, all things are made new. Write these things down. Verse 6, it is done. I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. He is the Almighty. He is the All-Powerful. To the thirsty I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment. Life itself is what the Lamb brings. The one who conquers will have this heritage. I will be his God and he will be my son. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, murderers, the sexually immoral, the sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. And so if you're not in the Lamb's Book of Life, then you're going to experience that fire and sulfur, that second death, that eternal existence where you get the exact opposite of what the saints get. You get to be away from the presence of God for all time, and that is truly the worst thing that we can experience, to be completely cut off from God. Verse 9, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. And that's the church. We understand that. It's been explained to us before. Having the glory of God, its radiance, like a most rare jewel, jasper, clear as crystal. This symbolic language telling us how pure and how clear and how glorious that will be. And then begins to talk about this holy city, Jerusalem, with all this radiance. And sometimes I think we miss out by looking at all of these descriptions, streets of gold and all these things. And people take it too literally sometimes. The descriptions tell us that it's not literal. After all, can you have something that's pure gold yet you can see through it? It's clear. It doesn't work that way. But the idea is all the most precious things that we can think of in our physical existence, all the most beautiful things, those are the things that heaven is made of, that this new city, New Jerusalem, is made of. And so that the idea being given over is taking away all death and all corruption and all pain and all sin, and what's left is beauty. And that's the beauty of God's presence and God's home and the place that we'll have with him in that existence. It's important that we carry this idea of the symbolism into this description of the city, about the 12 gates and the 12 foundations that had the 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. I think we're talking about the completed work of the gospel. The 12 apostles being the ones to go out and carry that gospel and to help establish the church that belongs to Christ. And so the 12 gates and the 12 foundations, I think that's what we're talking about. Now, when he's describing this city, he talks about four square length and width and height equal, 12,000 stadia. Now, I think there might be some relation to the holy places within the temple. For example, the Holy of Holies in Solomon's temple is said to have been 20 by 20 by 20 cubits and then to have been overlaid with gold. So there may be some relation about that four square nature with the Holy of Holies. In talking about the wall with the 144 cubits, I think we're still talking about the 12s, though it's really unclear if there's any special significance to the measurements of the wall. But verse 18, we get back to these descriptions of the wall being built of jasper, the city pure gold, clear as glass, foundations of the wall of the city adorned with every kind of jewel. It's this glorious depiction of this new Jerusalem and this place in which it is not only the dwelling place of God, but it is the creation of God where only the holy would exist. Verse 21, the 12 gates were 12 pearls, each of the gates made of a single pearl. The street of the city, pure gold, again, transparent as glass. I don't know of any special significance to the pearl unless it's just a reference to that purity and that color of white, since white would be a typical pure pearl or perfect pearl. Verse 22, there's no need for a temple anymore because the temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. There's no need for a special place since it's all going to be the special place. Verse 23, no need for sun or moon, for the glory of God gives it light, and its light lamp is the Lamb. Light has always been considered to be the righteousness and the glory of God, and that's all that's going to exist here. By its light will the nations walk, and they will bring glory into it. The gates will never be shut by day. There will be no night. In other words, there's no darkness. There's not going to be any sin there. It is a perfect, holy existence with God and with those that he brings with him that are his people. Verse 27, nothing unclean will ever enter into it, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You see, this is a place you want to go. This is a place that is so incredible and so perfect that what could we want besides it? What could compare? And let me ask you this. What would you take in order to give that up? In other words, what in this life would be valuable enough for you to give up going to this place in heaven with God? Absolutely nothing. That's what we need to keep in our mind. There's absolutely nothing in this life worth losing out on living in this city with God. Thank you for listening today. Please continue in prayer that God may be with us all.